said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Back. This is Sportsaholics episode number 104.
Hey, if my voice sounds weird to you, it's because I'm actually in the same room with Sheezer.
I let him out of the cage and I found him. He has survived his trip all across the country. And a lot's happened.
Dad Quest 2016.
A lot has happened since we've been face to face in sports and in our own personal lives.
Lives.
You travel around the country.
Somebody's in a Coors Light. Somebody I co-host a podcast with, Sheezer, is in a new Coors Light commercial, crushing walls, spending quality time with a lovely girlfriend and or wife.
We're married. They brought in rings for us to pick out to wear in
right?
the commercial.
So you have a TV wife.
I do. And she's very
How does your real wife? Now it's interesting, and maybe isn't that just the way? It's like you get married in real life, and then suddenly, you know, you get married in commercials. Now you can't even be single in commercials.
Well, as it happened, I'm actually filming this commercial 2 weeks or a week before my actual real wedding.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. So it was funny. I'm like while we're filming, like, oh, you know, you sit around on set for hours, so you learn a lot about, you know, different people, the cameraman, everything, everyone's talking. I'm like, I'm actually getting married in 10 days. Like, oh, wow, that's great. Same thing. What does your wife think? My wife thinks it's great that I'm paying rent for the next couple months.
Is
really the right answer, I think.
Yeah, it's a wedding gift that she gets the illusion that her husband-to-be has some sort of career or something in the...
And there's no Coors Light kickback, and there's none of that stuff. There's almost more like, well, give me more money Coors Light, if anything.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to be burdened with any supply of Coors Light. I wouldn't want that burden on anyone. Personally, I've had better beers.
Whoa. I feel like this is a spokesman coming out.
Look, Coors Light is the domestic beer's domestic beer. If that is a nice way to put it.
Right.
You know, it's a throwback to a throw. It's that golden crisp.
I feel it's light.
Those crisp waters in Golden, Colorado. And might I recommend you tour the brewery, which I have not done personally, but I have heard it is a good time.
It's light beer, man.
When the Coors Original, that's a throwback. I know everyone's dad drank Coors Original growing up. That was like
the banquet beer, my friend.
The banquet beer.
It's a classic.
That was good. Did you get any good throwback stories on your... So, Eric...
Hold on. No, we're not done with... You are in a commercial, and we're just going to... I mean, there's a point where...
Sorry, I just cracked a rock star, so I'm flying around.
Right. I'm just saying, guys, it's like I'm minding my own business, and I live currently in a world where I have friends that are in commercials these days. I mean, Leslie Jones, who's been on the show, she's in an Allstate commercial. She's popping up all the time, right?
Yep.
And Ghostbusters, July 15th. You should check that out. Right. And I'll tell you something else. Our good friends, Jeff Ross and Brian Moses, their roast battle is going to be on Comedy Central. Well, on Wednesday, they're shooting a commercial for a Dodge commercial. It's a roast battle slash Dodge commercial.
Dodge merger, which is fantastic.
Right. It's like, hey, Jeff Ross and Brian Moses roast people as they drive in a dope Dodge Challenger. That's shooting Wednesday. And then roast battle promos, those happen on Friday, which is so. And then, wouldn't you know it, I'm minding my own business, 11:30 at night, and it's is that Sheezer in the attic of his new house with his commercial wife knocking down walls and having a nice, relaxing, delicious, by the way, the can just looks so cold.
$800. It's a fake can. An artist manufactures this thing. It was like a new logo, but any sort of prop is like $600, $700, $800 for this thing.
Right.
Not a real beer. you know, they come up and mist the shit out of the can. Like, they're just like hosing it down like the dry cleaners, you know, just get it nice and refreshing. You're not allowed to drink it. They're like, no, don't put it to your lips, you know, none of that stuff. So if you notice in beer commercials, they're never drinking the beer. They're always just having a great time.
Having a great time and gesturing with it. Ha-ha, you're gesturing. Yep. And you did a great, because I think it's even like your hand, it's like the Coors Light logo, and you do a big reach. You're showing them you're showing your reach,
there's
your wingspan.
There's a lot of gesturing, absolutely.
And I'll tell you another thing, commercial wife, what I think we should do with this room is, we should put the Coors Light can right over here, and then, boom, Coors Light. Domestic tranquility. Domestic beer. Domestic bliss.
I got lucky because you'll show up and they're filming maybe two or three commercials in the day, but the call time's the same for everyone. So if you're number three, that means, and I've been there before, you sit around for 14 hours. So by the time you're getting up to film whatever you're doing, you're tired. The crew that's actually been working all day is exhausted.
Sure.
The director's nerves are probably not existing anymore.
Right.
Everyone's trying to get out of there, and it's a pain in the ass. Whereas this one showed up. I was in wardrobe on set within 30 minutes of parking my car, and we were filming like 30 minutes later, and it was great. I just got to bash the shit out of stuff with a sledgehammer.
That's what I'm good at.
Hell
at whacking.
For an hour and a half, yeah. It was.
Want me to knock down this wall? You need any other walls you need to knock down?
Real quick, before we get too deep into this. So this episode, we got you know, obviously Muhammad Ali's passed, so we're gonna
what? What happened? Muhammad Ali's dead?
He slipped in the bathtub, apparently.
Oh, my God. And, who killed Muhammad Ali?
We've got Bart Slabcorn from GaslampBall.com, Padres insider. We had him on last year. Got a lot of there's a lot going on right now in the Padres organizations. They just
inside the Padres
traded for James Shields, but more importantly, we just talk about the All-Star Weekend stuff you guys can do at home. You know, or if you haven't been to San Diego, if you're coming to the All-Star Weekend, which I suggest you do, it's going to be awesome couple days down in San Diego. You know, some of his suggestions.
Wait, are you inviting people to stay with you?
No, not at all. I'm just saying, if you can, try to make it down there for a home run derby, you know, a futures game. And then also, Sunday, July 10th, Comedy Store, we're doing a baseball show. We got Brody Stevens, Jeff Dye, Sarah Tiana. We got Steve Simone, also involved, John Huck. Myself, it's going to be a great show, baseball themed, you know, obviously jokes, but then we're going to incorporate, you know, some baseball stories, stuff like that. And that's going to be at the Comedy Store July 10th. Also, while we're doing plugs real quick, this Thursday, June 9th, at the American Comedy Company in downtown San Diego, I'll be performing with our good friend, past guest, Freddie Lockhart. Then at the end of the month, I believe it is June 28th and 29th, Friday, Saturday, La Jolla Comedy Store, which I'm very, very excited for, Southern California.
Very, very.
If you can, get in the car. Come on out. See Rick Ingram, hilarious. Brian Moses, who we just mentioned, is filming a Dodge commercial, so you know he's doing big things. His show's coming out on Comedy Central here in a couple months. He will be there, as well as myself. And Eric, I hope you make it down. I mean, at least for a night.
I'll see what I can do.
You know, it's going to be a great time. The condo is probably going to be shoulder-to-shoulder packed, but we always manage to have a good time when we're at the condo in La Jolla.
I'm just
together.
Saying, you know, more dudes, more you know, more people to jerk off in the shower.
That's
you know what
true.
Say.
That's true. I'll
what?
Just bring extra cleaner. That's all, you know.
Just
make sure you clean it up.
A bigger sausage fest.
But and then, so you've got some events coming up. Where can you be found here in the coming weeks?
Well, guys, if you are in Austin on June 12th, the Roast Battle will be in Cap City, the Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas. And then June 14th, we'll be back here in the Belly Room on June 14th, a Tuesday. In Chicago, June 16th, a Thursday. And I want to say it's at something called Lincoln Hall. I don't know that venue really well. And then in New York, anyone in New York City listening to the sound of my voice, the Roast Battle will be at the Gramercy Theater in New York City Sunday, June 19th. That is all part of the Road to the Roast Battle. Roast Battle shows that as Comedy Central will be filming these four shows in Austin, Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago as they get ready and head to this July. This July, I think I want to say July 27th through the 31st with a live show on Sunday, July 31st. I keep saying August in the middle of that date, which makes no sense at all. July 31st, Sunday night from Montreal, Comedy Central will be airing live the Roast Battle Finals from Montreal in the Just for Laughs. And the lineups are going to be big. I mean, there's some, I don't know if they've all been announced, but there's some great things. So check out Comedy Central, Roast Battle, the Road to the Roast Battle. Again, Austin, LA, Chicago, New York. And then in July, we are in Montreal. And they're not kidding. They actually speak French up there. They're not kidding about it. It's not a joke. It's not Epcot. They actually are bilingual.
And look, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Just take an hour, and it'll probably take that time. But let's get you set up with some frequent flyer mileage programs here. Because I think in the past 4 months, you've taken at least 20 to 25 flights. And I feel at this point, you're probably due.
I have six airline tickets for the month of June alone.
I'm just saying. You might want to think about buying one of those neck things and just becoming a comfortable traveler.
I might have to become a pre-screened person.
It's $80. It's worth it.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's only $80, and it's like takes 45 minutes to do it.
All right.
Something to look into. All right, but we're back face-to-face. You're back in L.A. finally.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start this week?
Where should we start? It's so odd to be in
Cavs
the same
down 0-2. Royals kind of been slumping recently. Red Sox are, you know.
The Red Sox are dominant offense with no pitching, and it was one of those guys, you know. I don't know how you guys feel, but, you know, like, your team's doing really well, but you haven't had a chance to, like, check them out, and then you finally get some time to start watching, and they just start blowing late leads, and you can't, you're like, oh, because I just had Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr. go on extended hitting streaks of over 20 games. Yeah, over 25 games. Yeah, it was like 29 and 26. But you're just going like, I don't want to jinx it. I was on the road with my dad. I was like, I wouldn't let my dad even say the guy's name. I wouldn't acknowledge what we were talking about. He'd be like, did he? And I'm like, yep. I'm like, I would just know what he was talking about without getting it and discussing it in any way. But I couldn't also, it's like, I would have to leave the room. And I swear to God, I watched like three of the four at bats. He went 0 for 3. But thankfully, I was out smoking pot in the backyard of my old New Hampshire house, so he could get that hit when it was, you know, when I wasn't watching. And so it's one of those, like, the pot never boils if you're watching it. It's like, I swear to God, it feels like one of those years, like, the Sox do better if I'm not watching. And so sometimes, you know, I'm really hoping
stay away then. So yeah. And you're comfortable doing that because you understand what it means in the grand scheme of things.
But you also don't get to enjoy them. You're like, oh, I don't see them when they're good. I just watch their, you know, it's like, I'm the problem. Me watching is the problem with the Red Sox pitching rotation, not the pitchers. I'm pretty sure it's somehow on a quantum level I am affecting.
Just like all true sports fans do.
Right.
You know, it's like that you do have an outcome. I think, you know, we've all got.
Anything watched changes by will change in nature. That is a fact of quantum physics. By the mere thing of being observed changes nature. And so, you know, it's like, I'm not saying, you know, everybody watching, everyone who is or isn't watching does actually affect the outcome by wishing and hoping, you know. All right, so let's get to Steph Curry, the Warriors, and rising from the dead, and now looking very confident. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Cleveland could hold
down 3-1. Oklahoma City fights back, Game 7. You know,
and a classic Game 6 choke away. I thought Oklahoma City had them at home. It was down the stretch, and I there was a moment where, you know, for anyone who watches that game, Game 6 was. Klay Thompson had to set a new Olympic world record, basically, in 3 points made. I think he made 11. And that was just to keep them in the game. That was just to keep them in anywhere that they could catch up. And then Steph Curry, Kansas 3, to finally, within, like, there's a minute 45, and Steph Curry has finally put them, I think, 2 points up. Like, or maybe it's a point, but he's taken the three-pointer and taken the lead.
Made the Steph Curry shot of the game.
Right, but then Durant forced up a three, and I'm like, you're at home. You had the lead the whole game. You're at home. You're expecting calls, and they were getting calls. I mean, I would really say that, you know, it was like you would never say that game was unfairly reffed against the Thunder, and I don't understand why Kevin Durant forced it when it was just, I mean, he's so pretty, and Westbrook, what they were doing, it was like all of a sudden everyone just teamwork stopped.
I was gonna say it sounds like Durant. Maybe it's if I
hero
hit,
complex.
If I hit the shot, then I'm the guy that everyone remembers over Westbrook. You know, I'm the guy that beat the Warriors. You
but
know,
I'm saying it's at that moment where it's like, oh, the Spurs. The Thunder. You started playing Warrior ball. Like when Durant put up that three, he threw out his home court advantage. He threw out everything. It's like he now decided to try and win like the Warriors win. And that isn't – nobody's game is Warrior basketball except the Warriors. I know it's like – you know, it's like, hey, we all watch – y'all think those threes fall in, but the threes are great when they're going up. But when they clang out, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch the Warriors too when they are playing like that, which is rare, and they still find ways to win. They're just – they're really a sloppy team. They don't really protect the ball – but I think it's because they play so fast and they get so many possessions. You know, each possession is not quite as valuable as it is to the opposing team.
I went crazy in game one of the finals against the Cavaliers in the third quarter. It was the start of the third quarter, and the Cavs have a lead. And I watched them throw it away. But there was a point, like the first three possessions, only like two members of the Warriors were in the front court. It's like Bogut and two other guys. It was like, are you guys only allowed to bring three players into this half of the court? And it's just, and they're chucking threes and no one's, I mean, the only criticism I have about the Steph Curry game is like, hey, look, it looks dope as fuck that you can chuck up a three and turn your back to it and walk away and it goes in. But you know what? When it doesn't go in and you're walking down the court, it means you gave up any chance of rebounding. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's some stat heads or somebody who knows the game a lot better than
I
do.
He makes that when he does that, it goes in 70%. Because, you know, as a shot, you can feel it. You know, sometimes you shoot a ball and it goes in. And you're like, I didn't know that was going in. But then there's sometimes when it goes off your hand and
just saying, guys, watch some Warrior basketball and watch for the following thing. You'll see two or only three members of the Warriors that are even over half court. They will shoot. Someone will shoot the ball, and like they're a school of fish. The ball goes up, and they just start running back. It's like, so no one's. There's no follow the. All the old ideas of crashing the boards or following your shot are gone. Now now because I'm really open to the idea that Steve Kerr or basketball minds have figured out by the trajectory of the ball, like you're better getting back because. That prevents fast. Like yes, you miss,
you're
but you don't give up fast
like
breaks.
8 points worth of fast break points.
Right, exactly.
Also,
That's what you're tapping down.
Which is another thing. I'd always just let the guy make the layup. It's time and time and time and time and time and time again. After 20 years of watching, 30 years of basketball in the NBA, the guys they just grab them, they foul them on the fast breaks. Just let him make the layup. Like I would have seen thousands of points in games saved off the scoreboard if like clearly you're beat. Just let the guy score 2 points.
Yeah, but they're trying to break rhythm.
And then a lot of the times, I guess it looks bad defensively, but you know you're
I
gonna.
Feel like there's been a lot of there's been a lot of surprising shots that didn't go in. I feel this playoffs. Like I watched a lot of Russell Westbrook. Like there's been a lot of layups that
it's
just
fatigue time. I mean, you're at game. Is that what it is? You're at game like 90 right now.
Sure.
I mean, it's like we were saying, like while all these guys are backing out of the Olympics, like I got to rest my knee, got to rest my fingers, got to rest my toes.
That's right, Sportsaholics. You guys staying at home? It is officially announced you're not going to be involved in the Olympics in Rio.
But not because of the mosquito blood thing.
No, because of injuries. Steph Curry earlier today, as we record this, Steph Curry has bowed out of the Rio Olympics, and right after on your ticker, LaMarcus Aldridge has a finger. He has a finger that will not allow him to go to Rio.
I'm excited.
Don't blame it on Rio. Blame
it
on.
It's just not
LaMarcus
a big
Aldridge's
to me. It's not a big deal. I was there to see the greatest collaborate. The Dream Team '92. It'll never get better than that. Just staring at that poster with Christian Laettner awkwardly there, like, what am I doing here?
You know what? I never feel bad about that because he was Duke. It says,
this is
our best college player.
Yes.
It's our best college player.
I liked
it.
And you know, and it kind of like.
It's making Robin a member of the Justice League. Robin's not typically a member of the Justice League, but he kind of should be. It's like, and here's our number one protege.
Well, it's kind of a throwback, too, to the previous Olympic teams where they, you know, where it was all the collegiate guys, you know, like Glenn Rice, I think, in like 88. And like, who else was on that 88 Olympic team? Either way, it's, you know, so it's like it was nice that they still included the college
you
guy.
You know what's surprising? You even think about it. There was no call for, hey, why don't you have Kareem come back? You know what I mean? Like, he's, I mean, because you're like, there wasn't the elder statesman role.
Because he retired in 89. So he'd already been out of the league 3 years.
Now, 3 years isn't that much. I mean, I guess maybe you already had Magic was coming back.
Retired,
I mean, Magic
he retired at 48, though. I mean, he was like probably in his 50s. I mean, think about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's in like half those pictures with Muhammad Ali back in the 60s, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, he is
Lou
Alcindor
and Cassius Clay.
I'm not sure what year his rookie year was, but I'm guessing like maybe 68, 69 or
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like on the 68 Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I'm not sure when the Bruins dynasty began and started.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, so, you know, he's definitely, I think, 3 years of retirement, firing that machine back up again after it'd been
sitting. No one ever said it. Magic was coming back with the whole AIDS thing, and maybe that's your retired.
Plus, they had the Jordan Isaiah Thomas thing. There was a lot of behind the scenes drama going on.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Jordan's like, I'm not playing if Isaiah's here. He tried to make out with me one time in the shower in Indianapolis.
Zeke,
allegedly. Well, hey, let's take a break. When we get back, we'll discuss some Muhammad Ali. We're going to play some audio clips that I found on YouTube. And then, so we'll be back right after this. I wanted to hear about traveling through from Florida all the way up to Ohio, then all the way over to...
So what you'd like to hear is about DadQuest 2016.
DadQuest 2016. Any advice, you know, for people listening if they want to, participate in some event quite like this with family or friends? You know, maybe they can take a lot from your story.
All right. So here's the story. Now, some of you may know that my mom passed away back in February. So, it was one of those things where, you know, she passed away and 5-6 days later, you have all the funeral services. And then basically like a few days after that, you know, my parents had a place down in Florida. My dad, about 3-4 days after the funeral, he headed down to Florida and he was been down there for 2 months. And in some ways, you know, my dad hadn't been, you know, he has not physically been back in the house I grew up in New Hampshire. Since 4 days after the funeral. So some things like in the house are still exactly where they left at, you know, a pile of pictures of my mom. And, you know, there's stuff that's just that you dealt with from the funeral or the days after.
There's so much of it going on.
Right. Yeah. And there was a tremendous thing where my parents had also gone through, they had mold in their house. During the summer, they had to move a whole bunch of stuff into a bunch of pods on the front lawn, do all this black mold stuff, get new roof, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a weird thing where my family was sort of forced out of the home while my mother was in the last stages of her battle with cancer. Now, here's where the fun part and Dad Quest goes in. They have a place in Tampa. I've never seen it. So my dad really wanted me to see it. And I said, all right, so I'll fly to Tampa. And then I just figure I'll take a little road trip with him because I'll spend like a week or so with him up in New Hampshire just so somebody's around. Just to make it a little bit easier when you, you know, to get him back in the house.
Be a good son, you know?
Right. And just... you know, and it also happens my brother lives in Cleveland with his wife. They just bought a new house, which is like 100 years old. It's a beautiful little home in Cleveland Heights. And it's tremendous. So the idea came, so I'm going to fly to Tampa, and then he's going to show me the Tampa house, and, you know, he gets to show me around this senior complex. They live in Sun City Center, which is, you know, like 30 miles. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, they got
golf carts zipping around.
It is golf cart city, man. And but I got to be honest with you. Once I saw it, I could tell my dad and I had a gigantic golf cart conversations. He's all like, I don't think I need to buy one, you know, I could lease them down here, you know. And that's all true, but also one of those things where I've seen retirement communities where golf carts are the thing to have, and this is more neighborhood. My dad likes to say it, like the house, it's like Leave It to Beaver. It's like the Florida Leave It to Beaver.
Okay.
It's very nice little avenues, houses, you know.
It's not so much of the keeping up with the Joneses, but just
there. No, every house is there. It's all like it's almost like it's one gigantic lawn that is just broken up by driveways, and basically everyone kind
of manicured the same, looks the same.
Everyone's
growing the same flowers, has the same bushes.
Right, but everyone's like you know,
the same orange tree.
This house has three jugs in front of it, so you know that this is the Marinos, and you know to park
My parents' house, they actually had to paint their garage door like a different color because you just drive right by their house. Like,
right.
Just be like, oh, it's the, no, I thought it was the one with the basketball goal. I'm like, no, it's two doors down.
So I got to be honest with you. This isn't I told my dad, like, hey, this isn't a golf course. That you don't need a golf cart. Honestly, if you're going to jump, you need to jump in your car and drive to the rec center and go in the pool or the chess club because they have all these clubs and all that kind of shit that you have in these kind of communities, which is great. But because there's too many cars driving around. They're real streets and there's too many cars. And I'm more worried about getting blown up. I'm worried about getting in a fender bender with a real car in a golf cart. I'm like, Dad, they're in real cars. Just stay in real cars. It's Florida.
It's hot.
Have the AC.
It's raining. Right.
Have the AC. Live it up. So anyway, you know, we took 2 days up to Cleveland, and then we saw Cleveland a couple days, and then we went home to New Hampshire. But, there are some thoughts I have about the road.
Well, that's what I want to start. Let's start with Florida. Just work our way north. Like, how is the great state doing? You know, you often hear, did it happen in Florida? Did it happen in Russia? I noticed you managed to find a few Confederate flags. A
lot of big Confederate flags.
Which you didn't. In last week's episode, when I had ventured down to Springfield, Missouri,
yeah.
I had noticed the Sons of the Confederacy Historical Society billboards were no longer on the major interstates, at least
right.
The ones that I were on. Maybe they had moved or whatever. But so, you know, I was like, good for Missouri. Just kind of being more socially aware. You got all the stuff in St. Louis happening 2 hours down the highway. It's like, let's maybe not throw the Confederate flag up on the major interstate. You know?
Sure.
But, you know, you're in the South. That's actually...
There were huge Confederate battle flags flying in Tampa, and then I got to Georgia. Georgia had a really... Well, I enjoyed... it just had a billboard that just said, hashtag secede. Like, Georgia's just cutting out of the Union. Which, by the way, I mean...
They
just,
always have been.
I'm just saying, that's an interesting... Think about, if you're just Georgia, you're surrounded... You're going to be surrounded on all sides by the rest of us. All right. But, you know, like, Georgia, go ahead. Everyone who thinks
in Texas, you can be like Texas, Hawaii.
Yeah, maybe you guys can get out, but nobody else. Anyway, all right. So then Florida is, I'll say this, there's a lot of abortion billboards. A lot. Guys, and I'm going to just tell you, if you're out there and you're part of a pro-life organization, I'm going to just say, I just think if you actually save the money you spend on your billboard advertising campaign, you could actually maybe stop abortion for good. You are wasting your money on billboards and because they're not getting the job done. They're not. And you are wasting money. So I'm going to say that's a lot of billboards.
Just wrap it up. You know, pun intended.
And a lot of, you know, they billboards for our veterans. And I'm kind of saying maybe we should just, you know, just give this money directly to some veterans. Because I think you may be distracting.
We get it. It's kind of like the cancer awareness stuff. I'm like, we are aware that cancer is a thing.
So we got to take we're taking the road from Tampa. We got to go up through. So we're going Tampa up to Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, then Ohio.
Okay, you're going now. What high is that?
I want to say it was like the 74, the 79, the 74, the 71, something
85.
Like that. 85. Something like that.
Anyway,
I've traveled all over this country, highways and byways. Okay, and let me say this, I have never been on a highway that just had it out for deer. I don't know what it was, but I saw it wasn't just an occasional roadkill. I'm saying it was like this interstate highway has a gun that they are just shooting deer. And they were gory. These were murder scenes. It was like
just
clearly
bouncing off trucks.
Yeah, you could see that from the right and the left. It was like Bambi is bounce in mid-bounce and must just get blown up by some 18-wheeler. Because you're not just seeing carcass. You're seeing blood splatter patterns. Like there were at least 12, one day of driving, 12, 14, 15. I mean, it was crazy.
And that's a serious thing. I mean, a lot, you know, growing up in the Midwest, I don't know, what was the deer population in New England? I mean, they were, when you were
enough.
When you're driving around rurally, you're like, you notice there's deer, and if you see one, there's probably five other ones. Here's some driving tips for deer. If you see a deer sign, just like pay a little bit extra attention, because I know people personally that have hit deer. In one instance, came through the window.
Yeah.
Just antlers tearing up a lot of stuff. You know, there's a lot of surgeries involved, you know, when a deer comes through your windshield is all I'm saying. So just pay attention.
Are you friends with Chris Farley and David Spade?
No, it's a horrible story. It's like tragic. Everyone's okay now, but it took like 15 reconstructive surgeries and just like a lot of craziness just by just some deer running across the road. So you're growing up through the Appalachian Trail. Is that kind of the path?
We went through Rocky Top, Tennessee. We went straight up. We had to go through Atlanta. Something terrible. Somebody must have gotten killed in a construction zone, because there was some terrible. We had to go off road in GPS. You know what I mean? We did some alternate routes. We had to get around some stuff. But good times. And let me tell you this, guys, if you happen to be in Athens, Tennessee, you heard me, Athens, Tennessee, and you won't need to be there for any reason unless you happen to be right by Athens, Tennessee. But if you do and you need to spend a night, I'm going to give a shout out to the Comfort Inn of Athens, Tennessee. And it seems like a weird thing to do, but I'll tell you this, they have a water slide, a small little water slide, in their pool. Like, it's not a deep pool.
Tell me you got in there to the point where your dad had to come in and like scold you like you were a kid.
Here's the greatest thing. By the way, the pool is up at is open at 5:30 in the morning. 6 a.m. I am down at the pool and I'll say this, guys. I've never had access to this before. If you have the chance to go down a water slide like a dozen times before 8 a.m., you are great for the whole day. Whatever the endorphins, like the runner's high you talk about. I mean, okay, water slide out. It's better than a cup of Joe and a cigarette. I mean, it's better than a good fuck in the ass to get your day started. I mean, it is boom, 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 a good time water slide. And they had some weird, crazy mushroom that was in the 3-foot area that just, it was a gigantic mushroom.
Yeah, the sprout, the water things flying.
No. It is a mushroom, it's just a giant white pole that then goes out to this sort of mushroom cap umbrella thing. And then there's a water pipe running up through the stem of it that then pushes water just out. And so it just rains down. And it's one of those things like,
I see what you're saying. Yep.
Right. And so you could be, if you're close, if you're inside it, you're not getting wet. Mm-hmm. And if you're outside it, you're not getting wet. But if you're just right in this just crazy, weird...
You got some, like, Blue Lagoon, you know,
I don't even know why. I don't know why they have it. It was the weirdest thing. You're just like, does
Comfort
Inn
here? Yeah, you're like...
Yeah, yeah. Seems it was like very, very strange.
Just have a hot tub like any normal place.
I thought maybe... it's like if I had been doing drugs...
You know, there's something about getting one over on a line. Like, there's no one to wait. I can ride this as much as possible. That feels pretty good too. Like at the closing hours of an amusement park, when you're able to just get on a roller coaster, run real
when
quick,
you,
and
when
rewrite
you own
it.
Space Mountain, when you that last 20 minutes of Disneyland. Yeah, man.
Yeah. So you're waking up. You're experiencing that. You get out of the pool, and you still got probably at least an hour and a half to enjoy a continental breakfast. So there's no rush right there.
Great continental breakfast, Athens, Tennessee. Again, highly. You can make your own waffles.
So as you make your way north of the Mason-Dixon line, what culturally, what changes? Anything? Do the people change? Do the attitude? Do you see more Bernie Sanders, more Hillary, or is that prevalent all throughout your journey? Or?
I'll tell you this. Florida just loves to rear end. There are so many cars driving around Florida that have mushed asses, trunks, damage to the, like, clearly you got tagged, and it's just crunched rear ends, and they're just still driving around, no problem. And way too many just blown out rear view windows.
How did you break that?
And you're driving around, and you got some flapping. Some people were just open airing it, and some people would get that piece of plastic that somehow you get somewhere and it flaps.
I mean, sometimes you just got to get to where you got to get to, and if your car runs, who cares if there's missing a door or three out of the five windows. You know?
Right, right.
So as you get into Kentucky, how are things? Are you like, and then you creep into Ohio?
You definitely got, the birds of prey were circling us in Kentucky. That was a strange thing. And there was also I think when we were in Kentucky, there was just like, you know, there's weird things you drive by, like just a weird rusted out Ferris wheel and other, carnival equipment.
But just, this now become old creepy carnival equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's clearly just like there's just there's like a, an old rocket ship that's all rusted out and a rusted Ferris wheel and a, but it's also still there and it clearly says there's something that says world somethingest something, and you, but you don't know what it says, you know. And on the other side there's like a gigantic cross, you know, the giant Jesus cross. And by the way, that's the other thing. Every time I see one of those crosses at the side of the road where someone died, it made me think Jews are good drivers. That's just what I always think.
That's, I mean, that is Lizzie Cooperman. Do you know Lizzie?
Oh, I know. I didn't know
She's
that.
Very funny. It's like she had that joke that like 10 years ago at open mic. She was like, one thing I noticed is I didn't see any Stars of David, which I guess makes Jewish
excellent
people
drivers.
Really good drivers. I'm like, okay, that's a great joke right there. And so you stop in Cleveland, you're getting hyped up in all the LeBron.
So it was like the Tampa Bay Lightning were struggling to survive when I was there, and then and it was just Cleveland. It was. You know what, guys? It's weird to be.
I was in Portland while they're duking it out with the Warriors.
What I was gonna say is the one thing I guess that throws you is like it's not like I don't ever see Cavs gear, right?
Yeah,
like,
you do. You see it all. Kids especially.
Right, right. And you see it in L.A.
12
but
years.
I was like, but I've actually been like, it was that weird thing. You had to keep doing that double check. Like, oh, this is actually. This is what you wear here. Like, this is their Dodgers. This is the, you know, Boston. Obviously, this is the local team. But you had to just, like, so it was still weird, like, oh, you guys are, you know, I've been 2 days on the road.
If I ever wanted to get lost, I just go to a mall in Kansas City. I blend in with everyone. Royals hat, Royals this, and blue jeans, and fucking white shoes. That's 80% of people in Kansas City right now. You know, so you show up, and it's just... like as Pitt would say, it's pandemonium.
Yeah, it's pandemonium, man. But it was, you know, it's like I saw some of the best sides of Cleveland. I think I'd been once before, but it was just beautiful neighborhoods, good company. You know, my brother has a great new house. Let me say this: your housing dollar is strong. If you're looking to buy a house, Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, if you get lucky and you find a wallet, you might be able to finance a house in Cleveland, you know.
And then always that interesting thing about, like, okay, what are your alcohol laws, Ohio? Oh, okay, Ohio. Your thing is the state runs a liquor store, but the state liquor store is actually inside every grocery store. So it's like you walk
you
into
make
the
transaction at the state liquor store inside by the
cheese. Which has separate. No. It's like it's a separate. Like, you know, when you go into Ralph's and sometimes they have like they have a Starbucks up front or they have that weird, like, you know, the customer, you know, there's weird stuff up front.
Yes.
Okay. Now, just imagine one of those weird things up front instead of being a Bank of America
or a Coinstar thing.
Right. That is a whole like sliding glass storeette.
Okay.
Okay. It's like a beer cooler.
So it'd be like a 4th of July fireworks extra add-on kind of thing, like seasonal.
But it's full time. It's part of the building. I mean, it's got sliding doors that are separate, so it has an entrance inside. Like,
I never knew this. My brother lives in Ohio. He's never once mentioned the liquor. The liquor store kind of.
So right, but it's also inside. Like, you're like, oh, do we have to go? Like, you know, because Massachusetts has liquor stores. You can't buy beer or wine or liquor inside, like. You can't buy it in a grocery store. Thank you. I'm stuck on the local, whatever the names of them are.
Or Nelson's or Gelson's.
Exactly. So, right. And New Hampshire has, you can get beer or wine at the supermarket, but you can't get hard liquor. So they have a state-run state liquor store, the New Hampshire Liquor Store, which are usually pretty close, but there are their own separate buildings.
Okay.
This is two trips.
You got
right,
two
right,
trips.
Right. And I like North Carolina has some weird ABC thing.
Like, I know Texas has drive-through.
Yeah, they have drive-through liquor stores.
And Canada has the beer store.
So this
store.
Is Ohio is, okay, the state runs a liquor store, but conveniently we've put all our state-run liquor stores inside your supermarket separately. So there's a separate cash register, a separate cashier. You're in a separate section of the store that is actually like the sliding glass will open. It'll close when you go down. I'd like some Grey Goose and some yada yada, and you take that, and then you can go back out into the supermarket. And then I think you can buy the beer and wine in the supermarket, and then you go through that line.
Okay, gotcha. See, there's not two separate lines.
No.
I hate lines. It's like the only time I'm going to get any sort of anxiety in my life is just standing behind and in front of somebody. You just smell weird shit. You know, you're kind of stuck there.
Ugh.
Kind of.
Trust me, flying back 2 days ago from New Hampshire, somebody was just lighting up the farts. It was the only thing I could do is just breathe into my sweatshirt.
Dude, the
it was
thing is,
terrible.
Too, like, don't bring foreign meals onto the plane that
Oh, the yeah,
the smells of some of the stuff. It's like lasagna smells delicious, but like when you're on a plane, it doesn't smell good.
It's captured in a tube. Yeah, everything's just captured in a tube that's recirculating air.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, what's weird? Okay, in Kansas City, the state line's right down the middle. You know, the real Twin Cities, as I call Kansas City. But it's 3 a.m. in Missouri, 2 a.m. in Kansas. But I'd forgotten that. So after the show, when I was back there the other week, I'm sitting around talking, and it gets to 1, and then it gets to 2, and then it gets to 2:15, and I'm looking around, and I finally look at my buddy, and I'm just kind of like, "What? When do they close?" He's like, "Oh, they close at 3. I'm like, "That's right." And I hadn't gone out, you know, to a bar in, you know, Kansas City on the Missouri side in a long time, but. It's weird how it's, you know, from state to state, it's completely different.
Yeah, it still makes no sense. I mean, I still don't. It's like, you know, to me, the fact that I can walk into a 7-Eleven or any store in California, like when, as soon as I walked into a 7-Eleven, I can go, oh, I can get a Coca-Cola, I can get a vodka, or I can get a beer or a wine. I was like, this is how America should be. It's just like, you know, and I grant you, like, hey, we might stop selling that liquor a little bit earlier than 2 a.m, and that's for every store to decide. But still, this is freedom that I can walk in. I can walk into every market in California and just get, you know,
anything,
whatever I need.
Yeah, go into Pink Dot right now. You could, yeah, you're covered. But okay, let's go before we get into the Muhammad Ali clips.
Yes,
my thoughts. Obviously, it's a sad day for sports. Did a lot. I think. People are like, oh, you know, he allows athletes to say what they want today. But I'm like, athletes don't say what they want today. They bite their tongue because it's going to cost them millions of dollars in endorsements. If they really, yeah, they do. I mean, they say what they want to say as long as it aligns with whatever's happening politically or is socially acceptable, you know, in society at that time. You know, an example, like, if you would say, like, Chris Paul and LeBron James, you know, said what they wanted to say with the Trayvon Bryant thing. Sure, yeah, they did, but everyone was on that wagon. That's not, like, anything controversial at all, like putting on a hoodie and and masking your face, first and foremost, whereas Muhammad Ali stood up there and said, your white boys are going to Canada. I'm approaching this legally. I don't want to go to Vietnam. I've got nothing against the Viet Cong. You know,
saying Black Lives Matter and saying like Viet Cong didn't do nothing to me are not the same.
And I have a religious base to back that up with, and went through the courts, you know, and just asking, you know, like, hey, what about all the everyone else that's running up to Canada and doing that thing? It's like that was hard to say in 1967, 68, 69. And so I think he almost. What's a good way to put this? Because maybe like the gay barricade in sports, once maybe that goes down, is someone equivalent to that even.
Right.
But it's like he's already done so much. It's going to just drown out anything else, you know, that happens, I think.
Well, I think it's one of those things. To me, it's very interesting because I think it shows you how history really goes. It's that, just so you know, guys out there, in 1963, right before JFK got shot and killed, Like half of America hated Kennedy more than they hate Obama right now. Like they would drag his name through the mud, but then he got killed in a horrible assassination and everyone who really had a really biting opinion about Kennedy kind of shut the fuck up, you know? And so what I'm kind of saying is, and I like right now, like people hate Obama, but the people who hate Obama are kind of older. And they're kind of dying first. I mean, that's not true across the board, but in generally speaking, it's like the people that hated that we were desegregating schools, they died, and people who grew up with it, we are cool with it. So it's like millennials now, like millennials are like gay marriage. What are you talking about gay marriage? It's marriage equality. Like they don't even, they, you know, it's like we
yeah,
don't
what
even.
You, yeah, what do you mean? Yeah,
yeah. Like, it's like no, it's like I should be able to marry whoever I want because I'm a fucking American. We said if we're gonna say we're free. Then, but your bullshit, like your opinion of your religion means I can't be with who I love or whatever, or that this gay person can't be with their, you know, I'm going to spend 25 years living my life with this person. But when that person gets hit in a car accident, some nurse or EMT can keep me away from my life partner. And the fact that because nothing equals wife. Husband, spouse, like wife, husband, spouse, life partner, your domestic partnership. These are words that I don't think an ER nurse or some bigoted EMT. Like, really, I don't need
to be dealing with at all.
Right. I don't need Kim Davis, a county clerk, suddenly, you know, keeping people out from the emergency room.
You can't come in here. Right. It's like, no, federally I can. And they're like, well, so, I'm going to shoot you.
Be so, bringing that back to Ali is the fact that, like, what I'm sort of saying is, like, to me, Muhammad Ali was the greatest. I mean, I'm a kid. I'm born in 1971. He's already, like, he's coming back. Like, I mean, I guess I'm born and I don't know that he's been stripped. I'm too small to understand the being stripped of your title. He wins it. He wins it again and again. I watched him lose it to Leon Spinks. I watched him get it. Like, I watched his last fight. It was terrible. You know, I mean, it's like he was the champion, but it was sort of like, it was a decision. You know, it was his last fight. He was given it. You know, it was embarrassing in that sense. It wasn't a good fight. But it's also, he was the greatest. He was the greatest of all time at that point. He had won. And it's like, you know, eventually, like, history will look at Obama more kindly than maybe Fox News does right now. It's because the people that hate him will die off. And it's like, we've already seen that with Ali, is the people who hated him in 1967 and 68, they've been dead for 50 years.
Yeah, and as time goes by, it's a lot easier to assess history, you know, when you can look at a bigger picture and you're not still trapped up in the emotions of the moment of you know, whatever that may be. But, you know, definitely controversial. And, just was a great example of being able to redefine your sport. Like, this is how you be the best at this. Well, then I come along and I do it this way. And now this is the new standard of how you become the greatest at this, you know, and just kind of his ability to just introduce new styles, techniques. And I don't know anything about boxing. This is all just stuff I've picked up, you know, recently watching a ton of, you know, the fights on YouTube, which I recommend you guys at home do. But actually, you know what? Let's just go into a couple of the clips I pulled.
Let's go clip.
Yep. And when we get back, and I'm gonna should I put that weird one in the end? You think with the,
yeah, I think that's interesting because it's like that's also the interesting thing. Like, it's interesting what everyone said at different points.
Yeah. And the guy was,
or you think about it, it's like, remember, hey, you know, a few years ago, Obama and Hillary Clinton couldn't say they were for gay marriage. You know, but now the position has evolved. It's like, I think you're going to, right at the end, guys.
Yeah.
Caesar's found this clip it's worth a listen. These are the words of the champ at the time.
The black man has been brainwashed, and it's time for him to learn something about himself. When he look at television, he see White House cigars, white swan soap, king white soap, white rain hair rinse, white tornado flow wax, white plus toothpaste. They taught him when he was a little boy that Mary had a little lamb, his feet is white as snow. Then they taught him about Snow White. Then there's the White House. When he look at television, he see these two cars, one black, one white, and they put a gallon of gas in each one to see which car can go the farthest. And every time the black car stopped first and the white car keep going. So this brainwashes the Negro, see? Then he goes to the drugstore, he orders two dips ice cream. He said, I want a dip of chocolate, dip of vanilla. And every time they put the chocolate on the bottom and the vanilla. When the so-called Negro, the way the educational system has been outlined, he's been brainwashed. He need to learn something about black. So when he goes to the grocery store, he goes get cake. He sees the angel food cake is the white cake, and the devil food cake is the chocolate cake. Everything bad is black. So he's been brainwashed. So now he needs to be taught something about himself so he can be proud and quit worrying you and pushing you out of your neighborhoods, quit running your daughter, and quit chasing you out of your schools. And every day you got a headache with this Negro that has been brainwashed by your kind. So now it's our job to re-brainwash him, to teach him that rich dirt is black dirt. Don't feel bad. Strong coffee is black coffee. You understand? You make it weak, you integrate it. So now he feels proud. Now he's not begging no more. Now he wants to be himself. He's not worrying you no more. So he needs some black history and he needs some black culture so he'll know who he is and be proud to be who he is and quit worrying you so much.
Taking Zora Foley too lightly.
Why would you say that?
Because every indication has been that you're confident that you can beat Zara.
I'm confident I can whip all of them. This ain't nothing new. My image is being confident. What you're trying to make it look like something new for? I'm always confident I can whip all of them.
You're being extremely truculent.
Whatever truculent mean, if that's good, I'm that.
Henry Cooper's nothing to me. If this bum go over 5 rounds, I won't return to the United States for 30 days. That's final.
Well, Cash, since you're not worried about this guy Cooper, how about when you get through with him? What are your plans after that?
Well, you're right. I'm not even worried about this big bum. Cooper will only be a warm-up until I get to that big, ugly bear, Sonny Liston.
London, England, I jumped out the airplane. Picture, cameraman, everywhere I go, you can look in the gym today. The TV, the cameraman, everybody follows me. I'm so great.
See that bear on the street? And I would like to say to those of the press and those of the people who think that I lost so much by not taking the step, I would like to say that I did not lose a thing up until this very moment. I haven't lost one thing. I have gained a lot. Number one, I have gained a peace of mind. I have gained a peace of heart. I now know that I'm in content with Almighty God Himself, whose proper name is Allah. I have also gained the respect of everyone here today.
But I say that I would have beat every heavyweight that ever lived before me.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
Is Joe Frazier your cousin?
That's right, he sure is.
And you think your cousin can whoop me?
Uh-huh.
You really do?
Uh-huh. Anybody on my...
Anybody on your what?
Anybody in my family, I think,
can
whoop me.
Anybody in your family can whoop me?
Yeah,
tell
me.
I'm sorry, Joe Frazier's your cousin. After I whoop Joe Frazier, are you still going to come in here and buy a hamburger?
Uh-huh.
If I beat him, you going to still buy a hamburger?
Uh-huh.
Me go shoot my brother or some darker people or some poor hungry people in the mud for big, powerful America and shoot them for what? They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality, raped and killed my mother and father. What, I'm going to shoot them for what? How am I going to shoot them? Them little poor little black people, little babies and children and women. How can I shoot them poor people? I'll just take me to jail.
While fighting imprisonment for his stand, Ali was also stripped of his title, denied a license to fight in the United States, and denied a visa to go overseas to fight. He was in a much tighter financial bind than most were aware of.
I don't know if I see the world heavyweight champion driving the Volkswagen, guys in the Cadillacs and making fun of you. So I'm working today, I'm hauling, right? I had to speak at Canisius. Heard of Canisius? Canisius, Ferdinand Dickinson, CW Post. Three colleges at $1,500 a college. Pretty good money. So I broke my wife's piggy bank. She had about $35 in it. $135. I broke the piggy bank to get gas money to get me to the college. And I got enough gas and food money to get the $4,500, the $3,1500 lecture. That $45 would hold me, pay gas bills, light bills, till I get to the next college. This went on until that whole mess was over.
Inevitably, students would challenge Ali on his stand and his convictions. Remarkably, Ali more than held his own against students who had a far better formal education than he.
I'm saying you're talking about me, about some draft, and all of you white boys are breaking your neck to get to Switzerland and Canada and London. I'm not going to help nobody get something my Negroes don't have. If I'm going to die, I'll die now, right here fighting you. If I'm going to die, you my enemy. My name is a white people, not Viet Cong or Chinese or Japanese. You my opposer when I want freedom. You my opposer when I want justice. You my opposer when I want equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs, and you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home.
Any white woman in this audience today, any white man in this audience today, in their right minds, don't want little black boys and little black white black girls coming around your home, schools, and churches looking to marry your sons and daughters, and in return introducing your grandchildren as little half-brown, kinky-haired Negro children.
All right. All right. no intelligent black man in this audience, no intelligent black woman in this audience want little white boys and little white girls coming to marry their sons and daughters, and in return, introducing your grandchildren as little half-white, green-eyed, blonde-haired Negroes. We are not seeking to lose our identity in blood mixing and our beautiful black African history. We don't hate you. We don't hate those of you who are white. We just want to stay black. We love my color. I just love myself.
He's gone from Cassius Clay, obviously very angry, a lot, very hostile time, racially in America.
You're also talking about a time where you're talking about like black pride, or you know, trying to find you know, the identity. It's an interesting. It's almost like it's an interesting reversal of segregation. It's like, you know, you have white people like, we shouldn't do this together, we shouldn't do that together. In a weird way, it's like there's a weird part where they're trying to stand apart and on their own. It's interesting.
It's
and that
weird
was right
when you could like pull out a manuscript of the that's what that's called, right? Or not a manuscript. What's it
transcript?
Called? Transcript. Thank you. And read that. Put that on paper, and then be like, who wrote this? The Grand Wizard of the Klan, or Muhammad Ali? Like, where? Who? You know? And you're like, oh, that was Muhammad Ali that said that. Oh, okay. But again, that was just something that jumped out when I was, you know, watching all these videos. Right. I'm like, huh? I wonder. This one's never really been mentioned before.
This one doesn't make a lot of the playlists.
But
now.
You know what? And it's not really fair because there may have been some sort of rebuttal or something that he spoke later.
Oh, sure.
That completely is different than that. But all right. So now let's go into something that's very depressing right here. But always
more
a good
than the
time.
Death of the greatest of all time. So
no, it's sad. Like the Padres, we're at Bart Salabcorn. If you go to gaslampball.com. Great guy, very well, great writer at gaslampball.com and at gaslampball on Twitter. But it's just been a long season. They're starting to trade people off, and it's just the.
It's been a long season. It's the beginning of June.
I know. That's what I'm. Dude, they start off 0-3. I'm at the opening day game. They lose 15-0. They do not score in three games. Start off 0-3.
So they actually hadn't even started. Like it's like really we're three games in. The offense has literally not scored.
In the next three games, they score like 28 runs and like just it's the exact. It's two different teams.
Right.
It's so frustrating to watch. Because there is talent there. There's just not enough of it. There's no team cohesiveness. You're here one day, you're not playing the next. You're back down AAA in El Paso. You're coming back.
When you see, seeing like a team that has a lineup, like a real batting order, is something to see. I mean, you can tell when guys like eat pitches, and somehow this batter sets up the next batter, which sets up the next batter. It's not just guys in a lineup 1-9.
Getting lucky, you know.
It's not that.
It's the opposite of that.
It is like right. You see in some ways like certain like you know those like 04, 07 Red Sox were like you know they were like 1-9. It was like the lineup itself wasn't. An organism. It was like a pitch-eating organism.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like one out. Your number eight guy is thinking like, well, you know what, let me just take a couple balls so then if I can get on base, even if number nine gets out, then that brings the back order back
around. Right.
You know, and just like little things like that that are thinking beyond themselves. But the Padres, it's a beautiful stadium. It's an incredible baseball environment. You're right downtown. There's all the restaurants, you know, bars, places to eat, watch baseball. There's baseball fans everywhere, but they're always overshadowed by whatever team. The Giants come to town. They call it Dodger Stadium South. The Dodgers.
Oh, it's everyone. It's everything South. It's Fenway South. It's Wrigley South. I would honestly say, I'll tell you, I've said it before on this show, San Diego Padre fans, probably the nicest welcoming home fans of anyone ever. They were just so happy. I still remember I went down with my brother. They were so happy to get beaten by Pedro Martinez 1-0. It was such an honor. We're just thrilled to see him. We just love seeing Pedro. Sure. I mean, of course we're going to get beat. They were just happy losers.
They got to be nice because they're outnumbered. They don't want to be like cornered in the bathroom or anything like that. But all right, when we get back from this, we'll be with Bart Slabcorn, gaslampball.com.
We're going inside the Padres, which is Spanish for inside of dads.
But not in like a.
Just put it. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. You on the wheel for a second now, dear. I just want to make things clear. One cup of coffee and I'm on my way home. No breaks in the danger zone.
don't mind. You know you don't mind. No. Oh, oh, oh. Oh,
oh, oh. All right, we are back on Sportsaholics with Bart Slabcorn from GaslampBall.com. You can find his work at GaslampBall.com or on Twitter at GaslampBall. Bart, thanks for coming back on. I know we had you on last season to talk about the Padres, and at that point there had been a lot of hype, a lot of free agents had come in, and it wasn't working out, but there was still some hope, and obviously it didn't work out, and now this season is upon us. Where do we start, I guess? Or where would you like to start?
I think probably the most exciting thing you can talk about if you're a Padres fan, if you're a San Diego baseball fan, is the fact that we are going to have the All-Star game July and a week's worth of festivities around that evolution. And that's really exciting. I mean, that's really exciting for all baseball fans of all ages and stripes. And you know, San Diego is a town that has a lot of transplants, so to speak, has a lot of people who claim other teams from their upbringing as their actual team. So that'll be fun for those people who are Yankees fans or Red Sox fans or White Sox fans or what have you, to see some of the best players from around Major League Baseball, some of the best talent in the futures game, the best prospects, come to San Diego and have that celebration.
And the home run, I'm planning on going to the Home Run Derby myself. From what I've been told, it's the more entertaining event as opposed to the All-Star game, and it's about a third of the ticket price. Actually, Bart, I wanted to tell you, too, the Sunday, I believe it's the 10th, it's the night of the Futures game. I'm actually producing a show at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, and it's all comedians that I know personally that are huge baseball fans. And so we got Brody Stevens from Comedy Central, pitched at Arizona State, huge baseball fan. John Huck, Cubs fan from Comedy Central, Showtime. Jeff Dye from NBC, he's a Mariners guy. Sarah Tiana, she's representing the Braves in Atlanta. I'll be representing Kansas City, but you should come out. It's that Sunday night. It's at 8:00 at the Comedy Store. Not putting any pressure on you now, but I'll make sure you get some tickets, or at least some tickets to give away or something like that. And that goes for you too, listeners. If you're in Southern California, if you're coming down, which I recommend you do, nothing against D.C. or Washington, you know, or any other places the All-Star Game's going to be in the future, but you're not going to find a better location for an All-Star Game than San Diego. It's fantastic. And so just putting that out there. But that's coming up next month, Bart, and then that's going to be over and done with, and then it's just going to be posters of the All-Star Game logo around for the 3 months, reminding everyone again of how good it used to be in San Diego. And I mean, at this point, is AJ's Preller, is his job security, is there any? I mean, is he gone after this season, or are they going to give him one more year, you think?
AJ definitely looked like a defeated individual when he gave the press conference for the trade of James Shields this week. He definitely looked like somebody who was disappointed, to say the least, in how some of his moves have worked out. You do have to say for AJ that they did do some things prior to the season starting, trading Kimbrel and some other pieces on the major league roster that have yielded some prospects that have buoyed what would probably be the worst minor league system if it wasn't for those trades. So they just need to keep with that strategy and replenish the minor league system. How he does with that between now and July will probably determine his future. Also, we've heard a lot of chatter that AJ Preller has been active out in the international market, that he's been seen scouting internationally a lot this summer and over the past year. San Diego really wasn't that active last year. They have a full complement of their international signing pool. And so I expect that if we are going to, and he came to the San Diego Padres with that reputation from the Texas Rangers of being very strong in the international market. And so if he's going to keep his job, if he's going to reassure the Padres faithful that this is the guy who can get us through this valley, if you will, that's something he needs to capitalize on. We need to make a splash with some solid prospects from the international market. The Padres have 7 picks in this year's first-year player draft next week. Contrast that with they only had 7 picks in the first 114, I should say.
Okay.
Last year, they only had 3 picks in the top 117 draft selection. And so they've got more than double the amount of picks in the top 100, essentially. And so they should be able to use those 7 draft picks. They pick at 8th, 24th, 25th, 48th, 71st, 85th, and 114th. All of those are higher than their third draft pick was last year. So they should use those picks to restock the system. There's some good decision-making, as I mentioned before. The qualified offers that they made to Justin Upton and Ian Kennedy yielded them 24th and 25th picks.
Okay.
So that's good decision-making. Padres fans should feel like that's, you know, a bright spot. It shows that A.J. Preller has made some good decisions. I think everybody knew when the buzz was going around in last year's winter meetings that there was a significant amount of risk involved with what he was doing with the current year, the win-now strategy. But trading Benoit, Kimbrel, the qualifying offers to Upton and Kennedy, there's I think, positive movement for Padres fans. But we'll see. I think he has to do well between now and the end of the season and give Ron Fowler, who has been publicly disappointed in this team, very publicly so, has to give Ron Fowler some assurance that he knows what he's doing and that he has a plan for getting this team pointed in the right direction, at least on a farm system basis, by the end of the calendar year.
Yeah, because at least there's hope then. If you can look down, I remember, you know, as a KC guy, I mean, like, oh, good, the all the minor league teams, I mean, they would brag about it. It'd be like, oh, you know, our double A team won the championship and our high A team won. And you're like, you know, and they're like, look, the future is coming. And sure enough, it ended up, you know, a couple of years, 4 or 5 years later. It just takes a long time. And, you know, baseball's a very patient game. And in some cases, you got to be patient 3, 4, 5, or in Kansas City's case, you know, 29 years, you know. But I'm assuming that Preller was involved with all the Yu Darvish stuff. I mean, was he still in Texas whenever he came over 3.5 years ago? I'm not sure exactly, but, you know, that's the thing. And it seems like they've been willing to spend a little bit of money in the past. So, you know, if he can bring over a couple guys this off season, I mean, that's a good, well, let's start with your current pitching. I mean, it seems like you guys got a young rotation. Pomerantz has been, I think, above average. I really like Cesar Vargas, you know, earlier on the season. You know, he's like any young pitcher, like some, you know, control problems. But I know he's on the – but is he on the DL or they send him back down to El Paso?
I think that's right, yeah.
But that, you know, he's promising. You know, Colin Ray, you know, I don't know. He's just – he's could still figure out more than a few things. And then you get, you know, Eric Johnson over here in the trade for James Shields. Did you like that trade?
I did. I mean, well, did I like it? I think that Eric Johnson definitely gets you through this season, maybe even into next season. He seems to be a serviceable major league pitcher. He has an ERA of about 4.5 over about a dozen or so major league starts over the past, you know, 3 or 4 seasons. He's going to get a chance, I think, this year. That's been the public statement, to see whether he can produce at the major league level. He's going to get that opportunity here with the Padres. You know, Tatis is a flyer, I think, is what you would describe him as.
Yeah.
He was rated by most scouts in the mid-20s of last year's international, you know, class, international crop. He hasn't played any professional baseball yet. So, of course, his father was a major leaguer. So, you know, I think that's – he's 17 years old right now. So I think you classify that as a you know, as a flyer or as a
– that's 6 years away. Yeah, that's just like, you know, something that's in the back – on the back burner. But, I mean, Fernando Tatis, I remember, you know, growing up, he was always – I mean – entangled probably in the steroid stuff. Like, his biggest years were coincidentally when he's in St. Louis with McGuire, you know. And so, but a great player, but he always sticks out as a Montreal Expo to me. But, you know, had a decent Major League Baseball career, but I'm a huge advocate of players' kids because they grow up on the field in the professional stadiums. That kind of like shock of being in the big leagues, in my opinion, doesn't really affect them just because they've already been there, you know. So there's like, and you know, their dad was a major leaguer, so you get all this insight and all this coaching from him and his friends and his coaches as you grow up. So I don't know, I'd be happy with that. I mean, like you said, he's 17 years old, but you know, 2021 isn't going to be that far away.
Right. Well, I mean, we have history of that. Ken Griffey Jr. was a kid that grew up in the Major League locker room. Barry Bonds grew up in a Major League locker room. They obviously turned out to be, you know, phenomenal players. I wonder if we'll see Adam LaRoche's kid someday in the Major League, so we can look back on his retirement. But you're right. I mean, I think these kids definitely, you know, come with a certain amount of DNA on their side, right?
Oh, how great would it be if LaRoche's his kid is in the locker room and then he retires because they won't let him bring his dad around anymore? You're like, your dad is old and creepy. We don't need him a lot, you know. But that would be well. And then you got Prince Fielder, you know. For KC, we had Mondesi Jr. until he took some over the counter flu medication in the Dominican Republic that coincidentally got him banned for 50 games, which is awesome. But yeah, no, it is that you grow up with a little bit of extra, I think, confidence and ability, and you know, it's like you play up to your level. Like you're only as good as who you play against, you know. So if you're taking batting practice, you know, against Randy Johnson when you're 13 or 14 for fun, you know, it's like the game's going to come a lot easier to you.
Certainly would think so.
What was I going to say? Do you have any, I wanted to ask you too, for those of you coming down for All-Star Game weekend, I was going to ask you personally, for a few recommendations for any of the listeners, if they were to come here, it can be the traditional like tourist stuff, but you know, if there's like a hidden gym or a certain restaurant you might recommend, Bart, that would be incredible. But anything off the top of your head that you might suggest?
So there's a couple of neat things about this year's San Diego experience that are, I think, unique to San Diego and sort of quintessential San Diego. So for example, there's going to be an event on July the 9th. So that's the Saturday before the All-Star game. Called Soul Pose Yoga, and there's going to be a gathering of this at 8 and one at 11. The cost is $25, and you can sign up through Major League Baseball's website. But that's going to be a neat. It's going to be in Waterfront Park in San Diego, so it's a very, you know, quintessentially San Diego thing to do yoga in the park and celebrate that as part of the All-Star experience. And that's, I think, keeping with Major League Baseball's efforts to grow into its fan base and to really reach out to different parts of its fan base to be exciting to different constituencies. Of course, FanFest is going to be going on from the 8th to the 13th at the Convention Center. So right after Comic-Con, you can head right back down to the Convention Center and get your fill of All-Star Fest there. There's going to be a 5K on Sunday. And, of course, we've already talked about the Futures game and the Legends and celebrity softball on Sunday as well, Sunday afternoon, and then the home run derby on Monday.
That's right.
The easiest places to stay are going to be the Hilton Bayfront or the Omni. Both of those facilities have bridges to the stadium.
Yeah.
If you like that sort of pool party atmosphere, yep. The Hard Rock Hotel in downtown San Diego.
Yeah, if you like that kind of like young, attractive people everywhere.
Pool party.
Yeah. Oh no, it's a crazy. Let's say what it really is a crazy pool party. It's like they just grabbed Las Vegas and just set it down right in the middle of San Diego, you know, around the pool.
It's a great party.
No, it's very entertaining. And then of course, you know, that Sunday night, the 10th, like I mentioned earlier, we're doing the show, which is not Major League Baseball affiliated at all. Some of the proceeds will be going to charity, but at the Comedy Store in La Jolla at 8 o'clock, we're gonna have comedians trying to represent as many different baseball cities as possible. But they'll be, you know, obviously telling jokes, but then we're gonna incorporate some baseball stories and, you know, just stuff like that into that show as well. And that's on July 10th at the La Jolla Comedy Store. So if you can make it, I'll definitely leave your name with a plus one or two at the door if you can get there, Bart.
Sounds good. I'll give you one gem. For those with any sort of military connection, of course, San Diego, famous for its military atmosphere, and the Padres do a great job of treating the military with a great deal of respect and tribute. For those people that may be coming in from out of town, there is a fantastic Navy Lodge out on North Island Naval Air Station in Coronado. Getting back over to Petco Park is going to take you a couple of minutes to get back over there by, you know, Uber or cab or what have you. But the beach there and the view there, the price there, for those that may be retired military or current military that are coming into San Diego for the game, that's a really neat place to stay. They also have a great transient officer's quarters at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego, which is also very convenient to downtown and to the ballpark. So there's a couple of options for military types that may be coming into town to take in the All-Star team.
That's a great suggestion. Yeah, I never, you know, and so is that open to all former and current military or just Navy specifically, or how does that work exactly?
So for both the Navy Lodge and the TOQ at MCRD San Diego, if you are current military of any service, and if you're retired, you're going to have no problem if they've got availability of being able to get a room at one of those facilities.
Oh, that's awesome. That's again, guys, so that's July 9th, the Soul Pose Yoga. And that you can find information there at MLB.com. You got the Futures game, the 5K run on Sunday, the 10th comedy show I'm doing in La Jolla that night, Fan Fest the whole weekend at the Expo Center, which is just two blocks across the street. And also, guys, don't, like you mentioned, the Omni, you know, and those are incredible hotels. And if you're doing good in life, go ahead and stay there because it doesn't matter. But you can also, I would also recommend the public, the train, the trolley is incredible. So, and in fact, even the train. So, I mean, in theory, you could even stay in Oceanside and take the train straight down into San Diego. So there are options of public transportation. You can stay out in the suburbs at a hotel for maybe a couple $100 cheaper and then take the train or trolley into downtown. And there will be lines on that, but it might save you a couple $100. Just something to think about.
Well, and the trolley stop is right across the street from Petco Park. It's just a very short walk.
Oh, it's the best. I mean,
Petco Park.
San Diego.
And the parking is pretty tough down there sometimes. And I'm going to go ahead and say that if you might be better off trying to find a trolley stop and take that trolley down to Petco Park rather than try to park near the ballpark, because that doesn't always go well for people who are parked in those lots on the Imperial side of the ballpark.
Yeah, when he says doesn't go well, it's a 8x8 block of gridlock, and it will take you about 45 minutes to go 8 blocks. And so if you're able to handle that mentally, which I couldn't, just avoid it all together. Go park out in Fashion Valley, out in the suburbs, and from there it's a 15-minute...
Park in Old Town, go see my friends at the Coyote, get you a California burrito,
yes,
the longest margaritas you'll ever find, and then take your trolley from
Old Town. It's
down
fun.
Down to Petco Park.
You hop on. I mean, I've done it before with Chargers games, but you're on there, you're talking about the game, you're meeting people. It's the good way to soak in a city right there. Bart, anything else before we let you go? I don't want to take up all of your time here.
Well, I think what we want to do, you know, there's a story about Bill Veeck with the Chicago White Sox setting up a table at the winter meetings in Orlando, I think, at one point, and putting a sign on his table saying, you know, open for business, you know, all trades accepted. That's kind of what A.J. Preller, I think, you know, is looking to do here as we go through the summer. The All-Star game is going to be a lot of fun, but they've got some players, Alexi Ramirez, Fernando Rodney, Yanhervis Solarte, that could really be useful to contenders, utility players, players with a lot of versatility, short contracts in a lot of cases. And what A.J. Preller needs to be doing, he doesn't need to be looking for the top one, two, or three prospects for some of these clubs, but he does need to be looking for some top 50 prospects, you know, on the board to replenish this minor league system and get it up from, I think it's ranked in Baseball America 25th right now. You just need to make some progress. You need to get that minor league system replenished so that in 3 or 4 years we can see what the Royals have done and other teams, which is to build from within, build a young team, and get them all together at the same time and make a run down the road.
I love it. And if Alexi Ramirez keeps, you know, hitting home runs two in a game, you know, his stock's just going to continue to rise. I like that, though, because you can ship him out. Nothing against him. He's a great player, but definitely expendable and very valuable to a team in the hunt here in a couple months. So, but Bart, hey, thanks again for your time, and we'll definitely have you on here after the All-Star game and see how things are going and talk about how great of an experience that was. But listeners, go to gaslampball.com, at gaslampball on Twitter, and then you can follow Bart personally on Twitter at Bart Slabcorn. That's BartSlabcorn. Bart, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate all the insight, and we'll have to do it again soon, okay?
We'll do it, John. Thanks very much.
All right, man. You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, Bart Slabcorn, again, gaslampball.com.
And that was Inside the Padres, which is Spanish for Inside the Dads.
And remember, guys, that July 10th, Sunday night, La Jolla Comedy Store, Brody Stevens, Jeff Dye, Sarah Tiana, myself, John Huck. It's going to be a great show. So if you're coming down for the All-Star festivities, come on down after
All-Star weekend, San Diego,
after the Futures game, come on down up to La Jolla. Enjoy that show. It's going to be wonderful. But recommend going to that Home Run Derby. The ticket price will be about half as much, a third as much as the actual game. And from what I understand, way more exciting, especially if you're sitting in some sort of home run territory. Next thing you know, because you have to pay attention to every single swing because you might get a baseball coming down on you.
In the face.
Again, where are you going to be? You're going to be in Los Angeles, Chicago,
Austin, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City, then Montreal in July.
Will you put that up on Facebook?
Probably.
You're not going to tweet. You're definitely not.
I probably won't tweet it. I'm going to get better.
Still don't know. The Twitter thing's coming along.
That's a process.
Go to johnjonishere.com. Again, that's La Jolla with Rick Ingram and our good buddy Brian Moses at the end of July, 28th, 29th, Friday, Saturday. This upcoming Thursday, or I'm sorry, that was June 28th, 29th. June 9th, this Thursday, American Comedy Company with our pal Freddie Lockhart, 8 o'clock. So come on down, San Diego, Encinitas, Oceanside, Del Mar. You're not doing anything. Chula Vista, come on up if you want to. Just leave all the hard liquor in the parking lot if you don't mind. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, man, check out Verbal Violence, which is the roast battle show. So give that a check out. And then July 15th, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes.
You can check out, if you get this in time, you'll never hear it in time, but check out replays of Jimmy Kimmel Live with Leslie Jones. I think I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, no, I'm going to get this up tonight.
Okay.
So, yeah, watch that tonight, guys.
Kimmel.
Stay obsessed. Let me hear it.
Oh, shit. Stay obsessed, everybody. I'm Eric Marino. That's John Cheeser. Sportsaholic, stay obsessed.